Welcome to the Father's Day. I'm Jesse Lee Peterson. Thank you all so much for being with me. Remember, you can support the Father's Day. I will work there on thefathersday.tv/donate and locals.com. Also, we now have Punchy's Coffee. Good. So make sure you get Punchy's Coffee by going to jesseleepeterson.shop, and get Punchy's Coffee. Every dime goes back into the nonprofit, and I do appreciate it, all right? Thank you all. I have with me Doormat Mom. She's an author, internet influencer, and the founder of the Doormat Mom No More social media platform. Doormat Mom, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me, Jesse. Appreciate it.
I absolutely appreciate it. And so how did you come up with the name, or how did you get the name Doormat Mom? What does that mean?
Well, I gave it to myself, honestly, because it represents parents, not just moms, but dads too, that are being walked on by their adult kids. And there's a huge epidemic going on where good parents end up with ungrateful adult kids. And so I figured, what better way to come out, directly come out with that in one name than Doormat Mom, so to speak. So that's how it came about. And it's pretty effective.
I know, I've been hearing about it. You say there are, did you say there are doormat men too?
Yeah, doormat dads.
Really?
That are dealing with their ungrateful adult kids. And many of them, many parents, whether it be mom or dad, are coping with estrangement because of this epidemic that's been happening, not only in the U.S., but internationally as well.
So are you hearing from people around the world about this?
I do. Yes. From Europe, from Australia, from Canada, Asia. It's a huge switch where, there are many, many kids who are living lives, adult kids who are living lives where they're completely unappreciative towards what their parents have done for them in raising them. The way they let the script, so to speak, makes no sense whatsoever.
You say that doormat mothers are mothers who are doing, mothers who are doing good for their children, and then their kids turn on them. Am I right?
They do. And sometimes they'll turn on them suddenly where they don't see it coming. So sometimes, I'll give you for instance, this one mom had literally the day before this occurred, she had paid for her daughter's wedding. And the next day, the daughter and her now husband went on their honeymoon. The mom never heard from her daughter again. Never heard. She finally tracked down the husband in Canada, and he told her that her daughter didn't want to speak with her ever again.
Whoa.
No, the mother had just paid for their wedding the day before. It's called sudden estrangement. And it's happening. It's ludicrous.
Why did the mother pay for the wedding? Did she know in advance her daughter didn't like her? Why did the mother pay for the wedding?
She had no idea this was going on within the daughter. The daughter never mentioned it. And you would think that's crazy, right?
Yeah.
But when you hear the stories that I hear, I went from starting just launching TikTok videos about ungrateful adult kids, because I obviously have my own story with regards to one of my children. I have five.
Right.
And the lunacy of my own story compelled me to see, you know, if other parents were dealing with the same. When I started making those TikTok videos, it was crazy, the response from parents. So I started doing more research on the matter. One in four families in the United States are dealing with estrangement. And that's, it's like, that's crazy. The responses were people, good parents who were so distraught, didn't have a place to go to talk about what they were dealing with.
Right.
So it went from, that found me through TikTok, that all started clamoring. So what I did was I said, oh my gosh, these videos are crazy, the amount of responses I was getting. So I said, and then I looked at it and I said, these people need a place to go to actually share their stories and connect, because they're all feeling very much alone. So I launched a Facebook group, and it's growing like leaps and bounds, like 100 new people every week coming from all over the world. So then they're talking and they're conversing and they're talking about what they've dealt with and the heartbreaking stories. And then, so I ended up writing a book, that came out, and Jesse, the trolls, the adult kids that are ungrateful, that have trolled the book. I mean, specifically going to Amazon to leave, they've never even read the book, leave these terrible reviews just to kill the book. They infiltrating our Facebook group to pretending that they're parents just so that they can cause trouble in the Facebook group. And then they'll go back to TikTok. And they share that they infiltrated the Facebook group. So we've had to just clamp down and really vet in a very, you know, we have to vet three different ways before we can let any one person join the Facebook group now. That's how fits the response from these adult kids. And the reason has really been that, you know, they come at it. I think that, you know, it's the problems that they're dealing with, the trauma that they dealt with in their life that, you know, has all been the parents' fault. When the reality is you're talking about adult kids who on a good day, their trauma is another person from another country's dream life.
Yeah.
That's what they're calling trauma. I call it designer trauma. It's fashionable and fleeting. And so we're seeing that. We're saying that's not abuse. That's not neglect. That's you didn't get, you know, the toy that you wanted from your parent. So you're mad. And, you know, the parent is probably saying enough. And that's what's happening. Is with the parents are starting to say, good parents who have made normal mistakes, they didn't make no mistakes. None of the parents in the group or that I've spoken to or I represent in my videos are saying they never made a mistake. They made normal mistakes, right, like every parent does. But they were good parents. They sacrificed, they stood by their kids, they did the best they could for their kids. And, you know, they're finally saying, look, what is it, if I'm not going to get any appreciation for what I did, and now you're treating me miserably, or now you just took off and you're strange, or I can't see my grandchild because you think there's some sort of trauma, I'm done. I've had enough. And that's what they're saying.
Man.
A lot of them are saying.
How did you become a doormat mom? What happened with you and I don't know if you can say it or not. Was your son or daughter?
Yeah. One of my daughters So what ended up happening is I was widowed when I was 35. And I raised four of my children by myself. And we were a very close family. And all of them, you know, they had a wonderful life. I had been successful in my life. I had also been a really hardworking mom to meet all those needs. And not only just financially, but also, you know, all the love. You know, when you lose a spouse, you have to pull them through that, right. The family, and then move on. So it's not an easy task. And then you have to support a family. So, and all of that takes. So I literally work night and day to be a great mom to my kids. And three of my kids were all very grateful, appreciative, pitched in. They're all surgeons and, you know, they've done very, all very well for themselves. And then I had one child who was less than grateful and looked at, you know, my contribution to her life as being owed. And so, you know, we went through, a period of, I helped her. I got her to where she needed to go. I paid for her college. You know, she decided after college, you know, she finally got a job. And then a year later, she quit the job. She wanted to travel the world. And she goes on and, you know, she goes and meets a gentleman. And within 5 months, they want to get married. And he wants to speak with me about giving my blessing. I don't even know him. I've spoken all three words to him. But I, you know, they're adults. They can get married. So I did speak with him and we had a very nice conversation. And so I gave him my blessing. She finds out that at the end of that conversation, I said, well, I look forward to attending the wedding. They were planning to have a destination wedding. I look forward to participating in the wedding. And she had asked me prior to hold a second celebration for her in the U.S. for people who couldn't go to the destination wedding. So I agreed. I'm like, sure, I'll do that. When she found out that I had intended to come to the destination, she went through a series of three phone calls with me. The first two left me dumbfounded that she potentially didn't want me to attend the wedding after I virtually went to her bride, you know, her gown dress fittings. After I said I was going to have the celebration on the third phone call, she tells me I'm not allowed to attend that wedding.
Amazing.
The destination.
That's amazing.
Right? I'm so shocked, Jesse, that I was so shocked. I was so hurt. I was so stunned. My ears were ringing. I didn't even know what to think. So overnight, I thought about it more. And I reached out to him the next day, and I said, I'm sorry, I have to pull back my blessing. I can't give you my blessing. It's the blessing that I and my late husband would have given you, and he would be ashamed, and I'm just hurt. And I didn't know if he ever, you know, it's not as if he responded, and he didn't send me a note, I understand, or anything. Mind you, a week later, she comes to me and she wants me to help her with the paperwork to get her license for the destination wedding.
Amazing.
And I said to myself, you have got to be kidding me. So then so what ended up happening is when she asked me to do that, I said, you're just out of your mind. I said to myself, I didn't say it to her. I just, you know what? I decided at that point that I now needed to take care of my heart because she broke it at that moment. And I had taken care of her heart and everything else that she needed for her entire life. And this is what I was getting in return. So now I needed to. So it was the first time, Jess, I ever just stopped communication with her. I just stopped it. And I said to myself, now it's my time to take care of my heart. And I moved through the process of forgiveness for myself, but also not knowing how long that would take. And that's when I started writing the book.
Amazing.
And that's where the process, you know, that's what happened. She got married in December. Obviously, I wasn't there. She cut all of her siblings out of the wedding. None of them were invited. She just, it was like an unbelievable slap in the face to not only me, but to her siblings. It was, so that's how at that moment, when I went through that, and it was so shocking to me, that's when Doormat Mom really was born.
Amazing.
At that moment.
So did you, the planning that you were doing to help her have the wedding here or the celebration, did you stopped all that as well?
Stopped all that. Stopped
really?
All that. You know, I mean, who does that? You want your mother, you say, you know, Mom, could you please virtually, you know, she was addressed with me. And, you know, Mom, you know, help me with the paperwork. And who does that?
And
what
so while growing up, you didn't see any sign that she had issues with you? Would she get angry at you at times or frustrated or anything while growing up?
Nothing that was out of the ordinary for any type of teenage, you know, angst, so to speak. There was nothing that was so different than the other kids. She was more of there were moments when she was a little bit more quiet, but not like to the degree where we were close. I had a very open door policy in my house. We talked about everything. And it really was no different. The one thing I could say was that when she went to college, there were moments when I felt like she was, she gave me a dig, but then she denied it. And I'm like, maybe I did read that comment wrong. You know, there are things, you know, people say things that might be off color sometimes, or just like, okay, people are not perfect. But we've talked. Up to the point of, you know, even the wedding, like we were having conversations, even, you know, on WhatsApp.
When you reflect on raising her, what did you do wrong during the time? When you reflect on it, what did you do wrong?
What did I do wrong? Is there any one thing? I can say that could I have interpreted those teenage angst moments to be more than just teenage angst? Maybe I should have seen it, but I don't think I could have seen it because I experienced moments throughout all my kids' teenage years that were, you know, of that same thing. So was her, did I know to think that hers was different? I don't even know if it was.
So were you impatient at times? Did you yell at her? Did you try to control? Because mothers tend to control the children and it causes them to become angry. Were you impatient at times or too controlling or spoil them or anything?
No, I can't say that. I was definitely not impatient. I'm a very patient person. Too controlling, definitely not a control. Look, I was raising four kids, five kids, really, at the same time. I didn't have time to be controlling. I allowed her to go to a part arts high school. You know, she went to two different high schools at the same time. The day was split. You know, did I feel that, you know, this personality of hers that came out of that, was that part of it too? I don't know what I honestly don't know what I missed. I'm trying to think, like, what was the abnormal, or were there any abnormal mistakes?
So you can't think of anything that you did wrong that you could possibly go to her and say, you know what, daughter, I'm sorry, I was impatient, and I'm throwing out things here, but I was impatient, I was controlling, I didn't have love. There's nothing you can apologize to her for?
No, because you know what, Jesse, if there was anything that I thought was wrong, I would have apologized, because as I said, we had great communication. We had great communication. So, and I was never one, because my philosophy has always been, I'm not going to be perfect and I'm willing to apologize. It's not as if, like, I think that I'm never going to make a mistake. I'm a high communicator. So if I've upset you, let me know and I certainly apologize, but I will not apologize if your interpretation is one interpretation. I have a different interpretation. I'll apologize for maybe having, for me hurting you, and because you're seeing this from one angle, but I'm not going to say that my interpretation is wrong either. Because there can be two interpretations.
That, when you ask, why are you angry at me? You don't want anything to do with me. What did she say when you ask?
Go wrong? Nothing. She would say nothing. I think, I've had conversations about that. One of the things I think is part of her particular personality is she's more of a thespian, a drama type person. And in some ways, I've been told, having conversations with my adult children, that she needs some sort of dramatic thing happening in her life for some reason. She needs to carry that over. And maybe that's the truth. I think, I can see that in her. So, but I just didn't think it would go to this extent.
Right. So all your children, was she the one that rebelled? And the other children conformed?
No. I mean, they all had a little bit of moments where they rebelled. That's normal in teenage years. So they all had their moments. But again, it was not anything that, overall, they were really good kids. That's why it was so shocking to me.
Amazing.
Even when she went through a period of wanting, because she was the youngest when her dad passed away, right?
Okay.
So she didn't remember him. She was three when he passed away. So even when she went through a period of wanting to, she needed to see his mannerisms. She needed to hear his voice. She was having a moment where she was really desperately was missing him, even though she had really didn't remember him. And what I did was I converted our videos into DVDs so that she could spend time, watching him, and listening to his voice. And during that period of time, we had a lot of conversations about him, familiarizing her more with him in a way that she now needed it as a young adult, a teenager. So I was doing everything in my power to support her. And I hate to say it, but maybe that was, too much. Maybe I did too much to support her maybe I gave her too much of maybe I answered it. I don't know. I can't tell you one thing. I'm not trying to protect myself because right. I'm the first one to say I did this.
But as of today, you can't think of one thing you did wrong.
I can't think of one thing that would cause
That's
such
amazing.
A dramatic decision like that.
And you
not
also
one thing.
You also said that there were you're working with doormat men, doormat.
Yeah.
You're working with fathers who identify as doormat moms, right? What type of...
Well, yeah, we call them doormat dads.
Oh,
yes.
Doormat dad. What type of man would be a doormat dad? You have to be pretty weak, right?
No, they're not weak. But what they might have gone through a divorce, and, you know, because the family is split and maybe that divorce isn't, you know, what maybe the one parent, you know, there's instances too, because we're not all the same, right? Where the divorce caused a rift. And so the mom might be speaking poorly about the dad in a situation. And so he now has to deal with that. And so in one particular case, you know, the father provided well, and the child is sort of now doesn't like the fact that, you know, the dad is saying, hey, you have to also listen to my rules and, you know, the county. And so the father finds himself having to say, hey, you know what? This is enough. One particular instance I remember someone saying is that he had to actually take the kids, you know, the car that the child was borrowing, the adult kid was borrowing away because the adult kid was being so disrespectful, was really trying to walk on the dad, and the dad, you know, said, that's enough. And the child never expected that dad to do that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a parent, you know, the understanding is you want your children to, you want to give them more than what you had. You want to make their lives easier and you want to be there for them. You want to be supportive of them. And one of the characteristics I'm finding with these parents is they were supportive. They were there. They were, and so it leaves the parent, they leaves the child in a sense of security that parent is never going to say, I'm not going to be there for you. Parent is never going to say, because they've always come in, they've helped. And then the child grows up with this notion that, well, our parent's never going to be, the parent's never going to say. And then all of a sudden, the parent finally shows that side that they held over for other people, but they never had to show it to their kid.
What's wrong with mothers who say, I don't want my kids to have it harder than I did. I'm going to make sure they have a better life. Why would a mother treat their children in that way, knowing that they're setting the children up for failure?
Well, I don't think they're necessarily saying they're setting up the children up for failure, because the reality is, from what my experience and what I've seen, there are kids that you can do that with, and they inevitably remain grateful. They see it in the light that the parent is presenting it, and then you can give them more. They'll never not be grateful, because then there are the kids who you give the same amount as that prior kid, you give them, and that kid sees as being owed. And I think part of the problem is that kid, and I think it's a societal problem, that kid has bought into a narrative that they are owed. They all of a sudden go into this victim mentality, and they believe that, you know, they go down the road of woe is me versus mom didn't do this for me, where the other kid is saying, hey, mom, you know, Mom did this for me, and I'm grateful. And I the other kid will say, oh, you know what? I was owed that.
Amazing.
You know, I noticed that
when mothers say, well, when I have kids, I'm going to make sure they have a better life than what I had. The kids always end up spoiled or lazy or ungrateful, as you said, because the mother tend to overdo it, or she will sometimes underdo it, but she set the kid up so that they have issues in life by doing that. Why not just be normal and let the kids go through rough times so it make them stronger in life?
Well, I think right now what you're discussing is like a gentle parenting, right? That's not all parents, because like I said, there are kids that you can give everything to and they're not going to become ungrateful. They're going to be very grateful and they're going to continue, because most parents do want to give their children a better life.
But why?
You know, but
why?
Why do they want to make it easier on their kids?
Right.
I think it's just a matter of making sure that they're well taken care of. You know, I think that's what they're trying
to
do.
But they end up weakening them. That's why they become ungrateful.
Well, I think that's what you're talking about, the gentle parenting. Because to say that these kids aren't going out and they're not getting jobs, or I'm talking about kids that, you know, their parents are doing better and then they're going out, they're getting jobs and they're helping and they're, you know, they're, so that's the problem. But when you're talking about gentle parenting, which is a weakening situation, that's a fairly new phenomenon.
What do you mean by gentle parent? I mean parents who are tough on their kids and make their kids earn their way. What do you mean by gentle parents?
Well, gentle parenting is a technique that's been used over the last few generations, which have caused our kids to be weak. They can't deal with the stress. They don't feel that they can deal with, you know, working hard. And you know, you'll see, I think there was a video one time where this boy started crying in the middle of, you know, Starbucks because he's forced to work an 8-hour shift, you know, 4 days in a row. That's the result of gentle parenting. Where, you know, that's
so that a gentle parent is a weak parent, right?
A gentle parent makes it so cushy for a child that they have no resilience. They have all expectation. They have an extremely long runway. And, you know, they feel that their parent should pay for their telephone bill at age 28 because there's a family plan. They don't know to get off the plan because that's the right thing to do.
You refer to your kids as ungrateful bastards.
No, I didn't say that. It's so funny. I didn't say that. What I said, not my kids. I said in general, that was one of the first videos that I did. I said, are you raising ungrateful little bastards? And that's, so I never called my kids that. That's a misnomer. And, you know, and I did, because that's exactly what these kids are. They're ungrateful little bastards. And I stand by that. So, you know, again, why should I question my words? Because the reality is this is what they are. And, you know, there's a lot worse that people are saying on, you know, in these videos on TikTok than what I said. And if you take offense to that, then you know what? Do not go on TikTok, because that's nothing compared to what's going on there.
What up? So have you spoken to your daughter since the wedding at all?
Oh, no. You know what? I'm not ready to move down that path. You know, and I have forgiven her. I've forgiven her choice, right? So I've forgiven her choice. But will I reconcile with her? Right now, at this point, I cannot trust her. She's broken that trust. So I don't know at what point can I reconcile.
Will you ever apologize to her for whatever you did, have done wrong, whatever you done that were not right, where you went wrong with her? Will you ever call up and say, you know what, daughter, I realized I was whatever with you and I was wrong. Would you ever call her up and apologize?
So I would not call her up and apologize because I have made amends with anything that I've done wrong with her that was pride. We've had those conversations. I've never said, and again, I've always had a relationship with my daughter and with all my kids where if I made a mistake, I was the first one to stand up and apologize. So I have nothing that's sitting on my heart that I have to go to her and apologize for. She needs to, quite honestly, come to me.
Amazing.
And that's the reality.
So did you have anger? Do you have anger?
No. No. But I have, but here's the reality. I don't have anger. Look, I'm a realist. I now understand what the score is. And I now have familiarized myself with a side of her that I couldn't have anticipated.
Right.
And when someone turns on you like that, and you they have your absolute trust because you could not anticipate this type of behavior based on everything you knew. And then they turn on you. It's very hard to go back and trust again that they won't do it again. And so until enough time goes by, which time will go by, and she grows and learns from life's lessons, because life will always teach you those lessons they right. need the most. Until that time, I don't foresee.
So you don't have
putting myself in the line of fire again.
So you don't have anger.
No,
you never
I don't
get
have anger.
You never get angry.
Well, of course we all get angry, right?
How about you?
But I think
do you ever get angry?
Do I get angry?
Yes.
But everyone gets me. So yes, I get angry sometimes, but my response to what happened was really hurt and disbelief.
But my question is, have you apologized to her for the time you got angry with her? Because mothers don't have love, they only have anger. They try to raise the kids with anger because that's all they have. They don't have love. And they end up turning the kids away from them with that anger. Why haven't you apologized to her about being angry with her, knowing that that's all you had for ad? Why haven't you apologized for that?
Because you're misspeaking, because I didn't have anger in raising her. I didn't have anger. I never had anger in raising her. Did I have moments where they might have done something wrong and that did anger me? Sure, but that's normal. And that's
but
not,
anger,
and if that was the case, then I would apologize then. But
why
I'm
do you say anger
to,
is normal? Anger is evil, and it always destroys the kids because the mothers with the anger, they recreate the children in their image. So the kids become angry at the mother, and then they become just like the mother. They develop the same attitude and blah, blah, blah.
Okay, but but I'm not going to believe that no one ever gets angry. Anger happens with people, okay? In certain circumstances, we all get angry. But I am telling you my absolute truth. I'm not someone that has lived in anger. I've lived in love. I've lived in support. I've lived to be there for them. I'm not going to sit here and say I was a mother who was angry and so I that trickled on to my kids.
And why not?
Absolutely
if it would
not.
Make things right, why wouldn't you admit that? Since we know that women don't have love.
Because it's not accurate.
I'm sorry?
That's not accurate.
Well, where is the love and anger? Since anger is evil and there's no love and anger. Anyone that has anger has no love. How were you able to raise them with love when you had no love?
Because that's not accurate. I didn't have anger. Why, I don't know why you keep trying to say that I did. I didn't have anger raising her.
But there were times when you would get angry at the kids, right?
Were there times when I got angry at the kids? If they did something wrong, that probably would have sparked anger. But am I reflecting back and saying I was consumed by anger? No. I mean, human beings have all different types of emotions.
But anger is one of them.
But that doesn't mean that you stay in there. It doesn't mean that you don't, reconcile that and be a loving parent.
But
I'm not going to agree and say that I lived in anger and that's the kid stuff, because it's not reflected. And it's definitely not reflected in the other children. And it's definitely not reflected in her.
But you can't have love and anger. You only have one. Anger is evil. And the person with this anger has no love. You can only have one or the other. Why do you think you had anger and love? I noticed that mothers don't have love. That's why the children turn against them. How were you able to have anger, which is evil, and love?
Are you saying that in your life, let's switch this around. Are you saying that in your life, you've never been angry?
Yes. I have been angry.
You've never been angry in your life.
When I was younger, I was angry, but I was able to overcome the anger. And so now I have no anger. And because it was taken away from me. And that's why I know that anyone that has anger has no love. You can't have both. You either have one or the other. Have you apologized to her for those angry moments that you had with her?
Again, I've already said this. Yeah. I mean, have I had those moments with all of my children? Yes. Did I apologize? Sure, I did. Moments are just part of the human condition, and ultimately you move past them. They're blips on the radar, but that doesn't encompass your entire being or every moment of the time you raised them. So no, I'm not going to agree with that. I do love my kids. I raised them in love.
When you say you had anger and love, you had anger. So where did you get love from to have love? Where do you get the love from to love them with?
Where do you get the love from that? Just being a parent, giving birth to a child, that's where you get the love. That's where you get the dedication. That's where you get flying across the country on a red eye to bring a pumpkin so they can go pumpkin carving. That by 8 a.m. the next morning, when your child tells you the night before that she didn't realize there was a pumpkin carving, you do that out of love. There's so many examples of love. You and I disagree on this. I think there are moments of anger that everybody has. It's part of our makeup. We get through them. It doesn't mean you don't love because you've had a moment of anger. We're all human. We have our moments, just like we have moments of sadness. We have moments of depression. We have moments of regret. We have moments of complete joy. We have
is due to anger. If you don't have perfect peace all the time across the board, then you have anger. You're separated from perfect peace. But let me ask. Since we know that mothers don't... Oh, let me ask. If it's love that mothers have raising children, why do mothers need the children as adults to be grateful? Why do they need their children to show gratefulness if they raise their children with love?
If you've been a good parent and a loving parent, your child logically is not supposed to make that shift, okay? So you've been a loving parent, and this is the misnomer of, the connection of, okay, because they made that shift, and they made that choice to make that shift, you're responsible. The kid has a decision. The adult child has their own decision to make. They can spend their time looking at the parent and pointing the finger at the parent saying, you know, you were the reason I'm doing this now. Or they can say, I'm making this decision. This is how I feel. It had nothing to do with you. It's not always the parent who is at the brunt of every decision an adult child makes.
But you have to agree with me that there is no such thing as good parents raising bad children. The children are the reflection of the parents. So if the kids are angry at the parent, it means that the parent were no good, right?
No, I do not agree. And in fact, there have been a number of articles that counteract that. And there was one in 2010 by a doctor, I think it's Friedman, who said, there are good parents who raise bad kids. They are, or didn't raise, they ultimately end up with bad kids, because the reality is that each child, when they're born, come into this world with over 400 set characteristics. And so you can't anticipate that every one of those kids, you can't say that every one of those kids comes in and is going to grow up to be this wonderful person. There are enigmas, and that is now, it used to be that everyone thought that the child goes in perfect and the child is a blank slate. There are multiple studies now and multiple doctors speaking out saying that is not the case.
Well, those doctors are dumb. I want you to think about that. Think about it. If a pair is good, and they have children, how can bad come from good? The kids will become whatever the parents are. So that's a dumb doctor. I don't know who he is, but he sounds very dumb.
Not just one doctor. So you have to look up and you have to read those studies then, because that's not the correlation all the time.
But can you tell me, how is it possible that a good parent can raise a bad child? It doesn't make sense, right?
Because there are other influences, including those characteristics that factor in. They factor in. Societal influences, especially now, factor in.
But the
society has taken a seat at the table and have tried to take the head seat at the table. And society has a huge impact on children.
But not if the parents are good. The goodness, when the kids go out into society, the goodness that came from the parents will protect them from society. But because the parents are no good, they're easily influenced by society. It's not like the kids are just going out and being influenced. They have no inner protection because the parents were no good. Let me ask, knowing that mothers don't have love to raise children, they need a father there to show them how to raise the children and protect the children from the mother. Could that have, and your husband died, I guess, when your kids were young, could that have something to do with that, because you didn't have the foundation, the father in the home showing you how to raise the children? Could that have something to do with it? Because mother can't raise children without a father.
Right, so I don't agree with that, but I can say that the male influence, I think that the best of all households is when there is a mother and a father in the home, because they bring different things. One doesn't teach the other how to be a parent. They have come with different roles, and they merge those roles, and that's the best of all situations.
Right.
However, do I think there are plenty of wonderful single mothers out there that did great jobs, were put in circumstances where they had to raise the kids, and there are plenty of fathers also that just decided to up and leave and left the women in the situation. So if they're left in that situation and doing the best they can, they've gone out. I mean, there are plenty of examples of what wonderful, people, men, Dr. Ben Carter, who is an incredible man. And yet he was raised by a single mom. So I I'm not going to say. I think that, as I said, basketball circumstances and the mother, father in the home. But that doesn't mean that if a father isn't in the home, one, they can't be an active father, or two, she won't be able to raise solid kids.
What I've noticed, and I'm sure you have too, is that the father is the light of the family. And so the wife looks to the father, the husband, to see how to raise the children, because she's in the darkness, and in darkness, she needs the light of the father. And she, the father guides her into raising children. And when the mother don't have that, because she's of the darkness, the kids end up in the darkness too, because the mother raised them with anger, because the light is not there, and the kids end up screwed up. You have to agree to that, right?
I do not agree with that. I think the light in any home, in my belief, is God.
I know, but mothers don't know God.
I think they do.
Huh?
I'm not going to take credit away from mothers and all they've done, you know, to raise children.
That's
and
why
to
they
be
do it
their
wrong.
Kids.
They either spoil the kids, or they're too dominating with the kids, or they're too something. They overdo it because they don't have that father there to guide you. And you don't know one mother that have raised children by herself and the kids turned out well. You don't know one. You have not heard of one.
I do know.
You have not seen one. You don't know one.
I do know. I know plenty of them.
But that's because those women don't tell the truth.
What?
That's because those women don't tell the those mothers don't tell the truth about how they really are.
I don't agree with that, Jesse.
Why not?
Because I don't. Because I know these women. I know myself. I've got, you know, four kids that are turning out, have turned out, and are very well. I've got one that's gone rogue.
What do you think about mothers who, and it's happened a lot now, who when the father and the mother break up, she takes the kids away from the father, even if the court says the kids have a right, the mother have a right to, the father have a right to see the kid, the mother still make it impossible for the kids to see their father. She destroyed the kids by turning them away from the fathers. And if the court said yes, you still make sure the father can't see the kid. Do you agree with me that those mothers are evil?
I'm not going to call anyone evil, but I do not agree with that decision.
Why would you call it evil? Is it love? Is it good?
Because I'm not in the habit of calling people evil.
But people
but
are evil.
But I don't like the decision. I don't feel the decision is probably in the best interest of the child, but I'm not that parent.
But wouldn't you call her evil for keeping the kids away from the father just to get back at the father and destroy the kids?
Evil is not the appropriate word.
Why not?
I think it's not in the best interest, because I don't particularly think that that's an appropriate word to describe someone. I'm not going to say that they're evil.
But
if you're not good, you are of evil. Okay, so that's where we differ. I think they're making faulty decision. I think it's not in the best interest of their child. Their action is what I disagree with. I'm not going to say they're evil.
But what causing them to make bad decisions? Is it love?
It could be a number of different things.
Is it love that causing them to make bad decisions?
It could be feeling, you know, protective in an environment that maybe the court system isn't protecting. I don't know. I can't make a judgment on that, but I'm not going to say they're evil.
Are you a Christian?
Yes.
And being a Christian, do you know that it's either good or evil? You're either with evil or you're with good. Do you know that?
But I don't think it's my right to make a judgment on someone that I don't even know the situation. And I'm saying that the act is not in the best interest of the child in most cases, in many cases. I'm not going to say in the best, but I'm not going to call someone evil for that.
But how would they wake up if you don't let them know that they're evil for doing that? How would they see that they're evil? And that evil is making them destroy the children.
No, because I think ultimately the children, that when the child is an adult, how that plays out will, with the, and the relationship they have with that parent would probably reflect that decision. And so I think that's in this case, if they're choosing to keep the child away from a parent, it will, the child eventually, it will reflect on their relationship potentially. It's no, but I'm not going to say that person's evil.
But why
I,
not?
you know, because I don't agree with it. I'm not going to call someone evil when I just don't agree with that decision.
That's amazing. I don't know how that can be if you're a Christian.
Because I don't think that's just necessarily that a person is evil. I don't think you're either good or you're evil. You really could do all right or all wrong,
But
you know, and
that's the
that
way
makes
it
you
is.
evil. But, you know, I mean, Jesus, it's not to say that, you know, all of the people that were sinners that Jesus, you know, stood up for is that that's, he's, you know, just calling them evil. And so there's, oh, I mean, Jesus
Jesus
stood up for
said
the
that
sinners.
human beings are evil, and no one knows the depths of the evil of a human being, and that angry people, which is evil, are murderers, and you should not even trust them because they're
I don't even know
evil.
where this, I honestly don't even know where this conversation is going because I really don't think we're going to agree on this.
Oh.
So,
So let me ask,
so that it's fine.
did you forgive your mother?
My mother?
Yes.
For that, if we're being a human being in our decisions? Yeah, absolutely. I love my mother.
Did you forgive her?
She, was she perfect? No, yeah. So I forgave her for her
And did
imperfections.
you tell her?
Yes.
You told your mother you forgave her for what she did to you?
Really? Anything to me that was out of the ordinary.
But she
My mother was a
recreated
good
you in
mom.
her image.
My mother was a wonderful mother. I'm not a carbon copy of my mother.
But what do you
But
think your
she.
anger came from? Your anger came from your mother, and because you
But
didn't
I.
forgive her for being angry, you passed it on to your
Jesse.
children. You became like your mother.
No, Jesse, this is really going off the rails. You're assuming and you're making an assumption that I was an angry mother. I was not an angry mother. And if you want to keep pushing that assumption, then there's no place to go with this.
Let me, you should ask your daughter, are you angry at me because I was angry at the time? I guarantee you she'll say yes.
Okay, Jesse.
So let me ask, should a man marry an educated woman? Because I've noticed that educated women don't make for good wives and mothers. Should a man, if a man want a family, should he ever marry an educated woman?
Can't believe you just asked me that question.
Not about
Yes.
education, though. Not about education.
Matt, I can't believe you asked me that question. Yes, a man should marry an educated woman.
But why? She doesn't make for a good wife. She want to be like him. She doesn't want to be, she want She doesn't want to obey him. Did you obey your husband?
Again, I don't even know why I'm having this. This is, how is this relevant to the original interview that we were doing? Because we're going into some
Because.
areas in my personal life that I don't think has any relevance to this interview.
Okay, if you don't want to say if you obeyed him or not, you have a right to that. But the point is, and I talked to a lot of mothers around the world. And they don't realize that they are to blame for the way their children turned out because they were angry, they didn't have love, and then they expect their children to be grateful. And the only reason they want their kids to be grateful because the mother did raise them in a selfish way. She wanted credit for it, and when she doesn't get that credit, she turned on the children. So that's why we
Well,
were
that's
talking
an
about this. So that mother can know they need to overcome their anger then they'll be able to raise children in the right way.
Jesse, you know what? I think this interview has become more about you pushing your views than actually about what I was led to believe that we were going to be talking about.
What do you mean by
that? So
you
want to believe that women are educated, women shouldn't be raising children or should have been getting married. And if you want to believe that evil, someone is bad, potentially a faulty act is evil. And if you want to believe that women have no love, they're either angry or they're loveless or they love. You want to believe all that, that's fine. But that has no relevance to the conversation I was led to believe that we were going to have. And so either we're going to keep this conversation on the topic at hand of what I'm doing, or we're going to end it.
So let me ask, and then I have to, what is the solution to these mothers who are feeling hurt that their children have turned against, away from them? What's the solution for those mothers?
The solution is to communicate with each other so that they can go through a healing process. That's one piece of, and that's one part of the solution. The other is to reflect and to potentially, if they can open up conversations with their kids, or kids can open up their conversations with them, to have those conversations. And ultimately, the best of all would be to come to a meeting of the minds, even if they have to disagree and but agree to disagree and move forward together. But it's not to sacrifice who they are. It's not to just legitimize for the sake of making their adult child happy, a belief that maybe they don't agree with, okay? It's for them to eventually move to a place that they can have a relationship. But first, they have to move through the healing, and they have to also be able to go on with their lives in the case of estrangement and move to a place where they're ready to actually reunite. That's what I think it is.
Should the mothers apologize to the children for what they have done wrong?
If they've done something wrong and the child has pointed it out and they're in agreement, or they're even not in agreement, but they can understand that they hurt, their child took on hurt as a result, then yeah, I'm not saying for parents not to apologize where they are wrong. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm talking about when they're not wrong, they shouldn't apologize just to apologize. Because that's a falsehood. And that falsehood will come back to cause a larger issue down the road.
Amazing. So I got to put you on the hot seat. I need you to answer these questions as quickly as possible, all right?
Okay.
The hot seat.
True or false? When she's crying, she's lying.
I have no idea. I can't say true or false. I can't say true because I don't even know what that means.
What is a woman?
Me. I'm a woman.
Was Jesus white or black?
I don't know. I do not know.
Do we need more white babies?
We need more babies in general.
Should a woman get pregnant if they can't stay home and raise the man's children?
I think that's their decision, not for me to judge.
Is the earth flat or round?
By all evidence, I believe it's round, but some people say it's flat. So, you got to be open.
Does a chicken have lips?
Not that I understand.
Do you love white people?
I love all people. I'm not.
Do you
love? I love all.
I'm sorry?
I love all people. I'm not.
Is it ever okay to call a woman fat?
It's never okay to call anyone fat.
Did you vote for the Great White Hope?
I voted for the man that's in the seat right now.
Right on. Is it better? I mean, which is better, soul food or Mexican food?
They're both good. They're even better together.
Is it, have you ever seen a ghost?
Have I ever seen a ghost? No comment.
What? What'd you say?
No comment.
Ooh. Can we give the blacks reparations?
No.
Did you have fun?
I did.
Oh, amazing. Thank you for
taking it.
You said what now?
You're challenging, Jesse.
Amazing. I appreciate you taking the hot seat on. Tell the folks how to get to your website, your books, or whatever you want to promote out there.
You can get to my website at www.doormatmom.com, and you can find everything there.
Amazing. Well, Jen, I appreciate you coming on. And thank you all for tuning in. Don't forget to like, follow, ring the bell, subscribe. And if you'd like to see other guests on the FatherShade.tv, contact my producer at thefatherproducer@thefatherstate.tv. Check out Parchy's Coffee by going to jessalynpeterson.shop and support our work. I do appreciate it. Again, thank you so much for coming on today. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Jesse. It was a pleasure.
It was amazing. Thank you. All right, take care now.